It is Thursday, December 9th. Welcome to episode 185 of Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host. This episode is going to be a different one. I'll tell you that right off the bat. I want to talk about the state of college football. The state of football. Like the president does a State of the Union address. This is the state of college football address. I want to talk about where we're at, what we've done to the game. With NIL, name, image, and likeness, right? With everything that's going on with this transfer portal indoctrination, right? With the coaching carousel that has happened this offseason. Also, we're going to talk about officiating, the rules, how the NCAA is fucking up a great game, and how high school coaches and parents are fucking up kids, basically. And some of the issues you see in the college football world kind of originate with social issues, what we're doing wrong as parents. So none better to talk about that than to bring the real coach JB, Jason Brown from Netflix U, or from Last Chance U on Netflix, the Slapdick himself, the Slapdick Empire. We're going to bring Jason Brown on to have a conversation. Let's talk about the state of college football, the state of the game of football, right here on Menace to Sports. But before we get to it, some housekeeping things to get out of the way. So if you're aware of my Zone 6 fund, and I'm going to say it again, if you have candidates, so I already have a list of kids in Columbus that are eligible and looking for help, right? I'm going to scholarship kids in the offseason to get like next level training at Plus Two University with Eric Lichter, who's the best in the business. They're going to get trained three times a week, get a skill session. If they're an O-lineman, they'll get an O-line session. You know, we'll get them coached up, essentially trying to improve the level of, I guess, we're going to do a lot, right? We're going to improve their athletic ability, their football value, and also teach them financial literacy. Teach them we're going to really do what I did in college, right? When I was coaching at Ohio State, what I did with my players and what we did as a program, right? To develop kids well-rounded, but also maximize them, right? I'm trying to maximize kids that don't have the same, I guess, opportunities that other kids have. I take my son out there to train and I'm looking around like they're like, why can't a kid in Columbus that can't afford this get this level of training? Like, imagine what that could do for him if he does it for 3-4 years. So we're going to do it. We're taking to the streets. We're going to Columbus. We're going to get kids that can't afford it, can't afford that extra, I guess, attention, that extra training, and we're going to pay for it with the Zone 6 fund. We've already raised $70,000, and it's going up. Donations are rolling in. People are contacting me, and I'm really excited about it. So I bring that up because I think we have 10 squares left on our college football playoff, national championship, and Rose Bowl board. So if you want one, you can win some money. If you win a final score, you win $300. So it costs $100 a square, 10 left. Email me, Zach@Menace2Sports, or just Venmo $100 to Cameron Media. Cameron Media, no spaces, no underscores, nothing. And we'll get you on the board. Looking to probably scholarship five to 10 kids. I mean, we got enough money to do it, but I got a lot of planning to do because we're going to do some camps and clinics in the summer, do a lot of things to try to improve the game of football because that's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about the Midwest. I'm passionate about Columbus specifically, and I'm passionate about the game of football. And ultimately, I'm more passionate than any of those in the world of helping and developing kids. That's why I got into coaching. That's what I'm doing. So that was long-winded, but I wanted to explain it. Also, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/menacetosports. We got rid of the $2.99 listener tier. I mentioned it was this dumbass idea. We shouldn't have done that. But we do have a $5. Basically, pay $5 to get a couple shows free, like this interview with Coach JB. You'll get the whole thing unedited. And then the custom RSS feed's where it's at. It pops right up on your phone the minute we post it. There's no waiting for Apple or iTunes or Spotify or any of that. So it's a way to support the show. $5, you get a custom RSS feed on our Patreon. I also want to mention our sponsor, MyBookie, right? The promo code Menace, you get free money. That's all you need to know. We should end it right there. You sign up for MyBookie, deposit $250, they give you a free $250. I think it's up to $250. And if you do that, I put it out on the morning show, I got a parlay for you. Tonight, two road favorites, the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars, parlayed $250 to win $465. Go on MyBookie right now. Sign up if you haven't yet. Use our promo code Menace. Lock in that parlay. Win $465 day one. How about that? So I got you with the parlay. And I'll try to put one out almost every show. So do that for me. And I think that's everything. I think this is everything I'm going to get to. All right. Enough about that. Let's get to the show.
What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there? And and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
All right, before I bring Coach JB on with me, I kind of want to sound off about a little bit, just a little bit, because I know he's going to do most of the talking once I bring him on. But I just think there's a real, it's not a problem, but college football is a different animal now, right? With you're watching the coaching carousel, the amount of money these coaches are making. It's amazing, isn't it? With name, image, and likeness and these kids getting paid now, how there's still enough money floating around from boosters and everyone else to pay coaches $10 million a year. Isn't that amazing? The amount of money that the NCAA has, that these schools have. I mean, it's absurd if you actually look at budgets and books. I mean, I saw a thing. There's like Ohio State has something like 50 or 32 people that work in the diversity and inclusion department. I mean, for like $10 million worth of salary. Like the amount of money these universities have to just pay people to do fucking randomness is wild. So these kids deserve to get paid. But the problem is this. The name, image, and likeness thing is completely fucking mismanaged. The NCAA screwed it up entirely, right? I've always said from day one, these kids should be allowed to do this. They should get compensated, but it should go into a trust fund, right? They can get it when they're done playing. Don't let them get paid all this money up front and let them, and Coach JB's going to talk about it, go buy a bunch of fucking shoes and all this other shit. It should come with a mandatory like financial action plan. Like some of it needs to go into a 401k or an IRA until they're 25. Or there should have been some guidelines from the NCAA to not allow this to happen. And also, they should have never allowed slush funds like they've allowed, right? Their complete lack of leadership has now allowed exactly what I said it would become, recruiting slush funds where donors are donating money into a slush fund. So kids, there's a baseline salary. And all it takes, I mean, you have one donor that is a multi-billionaire. He could throw $100 million and donate it into a charity. They can start these slush funds as charities. He'll get tax write-offs for donating $100 million to pay recruits to come play for his favorite school. Think about that. We're going to let him get a tax break to pay kids to play for his team and win him a national championship. What is wrong with us? Are we this dumb? That's one thing. Then the transfer portal. Kids can just jump in the portal immediately. You have officially taken away hard coaching. You have. Because I mentioned it later in the show, I don't think I had a freshman ever that wouldn't have transferred. Not one. But by the end of their career, those kids loved me. They appreciated me because I coached them hard. I developed them. They got maximized. But every single one of them would have jumped in the portal. I have so much respect for guys like Brian Hartline and Ryan Day and just how they're able to coach. Right now, they have to coach like the NFL coaches, which is not very well, right? They just teach them offense, teach them technique, teach them fundamentals. But coaching hard, I mean, you better build a strong bond and have a lot of trust with a kid and have a great relationship with a kid to coach them hard now. You can't just coach them hard and show and develop them, and that's how you build trust. You can't do it. And on top of that, we're going to talk about it in a minute with JB, but I think that the NCAA is the ultimate culprit here. They are the ones to blame for all of this, right? The transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, officiating is the biggest fucking problem. One of the biggest problems we have right now, the targeting rule is ridiculous. No one wants it. The players don't want it. The coaches don't want it. The fans don't want it. The only people that want it is the NCAA so they can show this perception, this shell, like they are protecting players' health, right? They don't want the lawsuits for the CTE and all that. They're just, it's all for public image and it doesn't help at all, right? You're not preventing these hits. You're not preventing concussions. You're not preventing anything with the targeting rule the way it is, right? And just ridiculous that is the That is the direction we're taking this game, right? And I'm serious. I know it's a little bit Chicken Little. The sky is falling. But this game is slowly going to deteriorate over time, right? People will always love it, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kids that play it, right? It's a harder game to play, and kids, you can't coach kids hard anymore. Even in high school, they can jump in the transfer portal. Down in Florida, you can transfer wherever you want, whenever you want, no problem. It's just unbelievable. So I'm gonna step off my soapbox and bring my guy, Coach JB, on, because we need to get his opinion. As raw and real and unfiltered as I am, this man might have me beat. All right, being that we're going to talk the state of college football, I figured no better person to have on than the real Coach JB, Jason Brown. Thanks for coming on, Coach.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, Zach.
I'm fired up to talk about it, man, because if there's anybody that's raw and real about college football and the landscape, as I am, it is you. So I just want to kick it off and get started. I want to start with talking about this coaching carousel, all these coaches on the move. What are your thoughts on, you know, Lincoln Riley going to USC, Mario Cristobal bolts Oregon and goes to Miami? I mean, what are your thoughts on this coaching carousel right now?
Man, I don't know. You know, I got two ways of thinking about it, man. Like, I was talking to some dude today, some fucking one of these cowardly Twitter fans, you know. it's a trip because These people that equate the transfer portal kids to a coach leaving are really foolish, and I think that's the problem of society. I think America is struggling in the, I don't know how to say it, but I guess separating grown folks from adolescent. Yeah. And I don't think I think we're enabling these kids and giving them way too much freedom. Way too much. We're giving the passengers the keys to be the pilot, and it blows my mind. And I'm like, listen, grown folks earn the right to earn a salary at a profession of their choice. These happen to be coaches in a profession that makes a lot of money right now. The marketplace has been set, and it continues to go higher. It's not their fault. Now that they bolt for another job after they tell kids, I'm not leaving, to me, you're a piece of shit, you're a liar. That's a whole other issue. But for you to leave and take a better job for your family, in my opinion, you are deserving of that right. Kids should not be able to question it. Kids should not be able to try to equate that, coach left, so I'm leaving. You haven't earned the right yet, dog. Like, in my opinion, you haven't earned the right. You haven't paid a fucking mortgage bill. You haven't put a kid through college. And it blew my mind, Zach, last year when I heard these kids in the Pac-12 were demanding to know coaches' salaries and demanding to know, and they wanted all this equity. And I'm like, hold up. Are you coaches? Like, you're not level. You're not even with us. Like, why do you guys think you're level with us? And there's a very we're slippery slope here, man, because I'm telling you, we're treading on thin ice, in my opinion, and it's going to implode here shortly because these kids, man, they think they're equals, and there's going to be no chief and no Indian recognition. And, you know, as you know, Zach, as a coach, man, there's too many fucking chiefs and not enough Indians. There's a problem.
Oh, big problem. Big problem. And you know, it's funny you say that because I've said the same thing. It's just like these kids, they aren't capable of handling like the NFL, right? Where they're paid, they're making all this money. You know, this NIL deal is going to change kids, and they're 18 years old, immature as shit, haven't done shit, haven't been through shit, and now they're going to fucking tell the coach how much money they're going to make, and this wild shit.
What do kids do at Ohio State or Michigan or wherever, and wherever you've been coaching, and all the places we've both been? What do kids do when they get their financial aid checks?
Oh, they fucking buy shoes. They spend that shit.
YT, Jordans, PlayStation. Yep. And you want to give these motherfuckers the freedom to do whatever the fuck they want? Like, the NIL to me is a joke. I've been opposing that, this whole NIL thing the whole time, only for the reason of, I think the kids should be paid, but I think they should be paid in a whole different manner. I think they should be paid based on their scholarship years. I believe you should get 5 years, 10 semesters of paid scholarship. I don't believe, And I think you should get enhanced money on those scholarship dollars. I don't believe the NIL is helping. It's helping less than 1% of these kids, number one. Number two, the kids are, it's going to be very, very difficult to coach a group of kids in the locker room every day, especially if you're losing like a Scott Frost coming into a Nebraska locker room and his quarterback's making $500,000 on the NIL and the fucking left tackle makes $0, the backup corner makes $0, the rest of the team makes $0, and they're all looking at you like, I'm not listening to your ass. This guy makes $1 million already and we're making nothing. They all think they're the same, and that's the problem, and nobody's telling them the truth. And we're not telling these kids the truth. It's like, you're lying to them. You're lying to them in the recruiting process. You're lying to them. And you know that kids only know what they know, and they believe everything, and they lie about everything. So it's like, it's an oxymoron, and they don't realize what the hell they're doing. And we're just keep enabling them, man. These people that defend them on Twitter and shit blow my mind. Like,
yeah.
They're not equals to coaches, man. And if you keep putting them on equal pay, so then they should be making the same money as Nick Saban.
Right. Well, and you saw, I don't know how much you follow it, but the Quinn Ewers kid, the number one recruit in the history of recruiting, they told me, comes into Ohio State. He made over $1 million, and the fucker was third string. He's the third string quarterback making over $1 million. And then he jumps in a portal because he's not going to start over C.J. Stroud next year, and he sees his money going down in a year or two, so he's transferring to Texas. He wants $1 million.
Yep. It's a joke, man. Like, You know, started years ago, Zach, when we were recruiting and we used to have the kids that we were like, okay, wait up. You're a senior and you're 19?
Right.
And we're like, hold up. So the holdback shit started this whole process years ago. They started holding them back. Let's get them more mature. Da, 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 da. So I was telling Pat on the Maxi show last Friday, I'm like, dude, you got to really look at these kids' ages. They're not 17. These kids are 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
And that's why you see a lot of these kids willing to leave early, early grad kids out of high school and all this old shit, because they're actually older. I bet Dollars to Dimes are all older than you think. They've all been held back. And that's the first issue. The second issue, high school and NCAA have no real commissioner overseeing all of its doings, and it's become a implosion waiting to happen because, in my opinion, without a commissioner, you know, high school kids can transfer to four high schools in 4 years. It's a mockery. And then in college, the NCAA, on its first, I don't know if you listen to my podcast, Zach, but if you go on NCAA.org's front page of their website, the first fucking thing you see is how to transfer.
I did not know that. That's
so
wild.
They're pushing the narrative because they know the dollars are in this whole let's go here, let's go there, let's go here. They think it is making this thing, they're making it an equal parity, and they're making it like, a level playing field, when it's really killing it, in my opinion.
You're
still going to only have the four schools every year. You're going to have Alabama, Clemson. Clemson's on a down year. Everybody's talking all this shit. They're about to win 10 games.
Right.
and that's what people don't get. Like, South Carolina's only won 10 games like twice in their history.
Right.
Clemson's done it 11 years in a row if they win their 10th game, and they're having a horrible year.
But horrible. People say it's terrible.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, that's the expectations we set now as society, and all these fucking, so-called coaches on Twitter, they don't realize that when a coach leaves and they want to him for leaving, and then they defend the kid in the portal. And I'm like, well, hold up, man. You guys don't realize how hard the NCAA has made it also on coaches. And I believe it's turning to kids as well. And it's only making it a big old fucking combative issue in the locker room, in the recruiting world. And it just, there's so much shit going on, man, Zach, in my opinion. You know, the two signing periods. I mean, we could talk about everything. It's all fucked up. But the NCAA, man, non-caring assholes of America, they're gonna do this for their money.
You said a non-caring assholes of America.
Yeah, man, that's what it means. Yeah.
That is what it means. Well, you know what? I just think about, like, thank God I'm out of it, but I don't know how you coach a room, how you coach a kid, like, especially a receiver. Receivers are known to be prima donna. A lot of them are high maintenance as fuck. And it's like, how do you coach that kid when he knows he could jump in a portal and be in another school tomorrow and eligible? Like, you've lost a tool in development, and that is to be hard on a kid, to coach a kid really hard. Because I know right now, almost all my players would have transferred their freshman year. But by their senior year, they loved me and they loved it, right? It's like, what the fuck did we do? We just fucked up a development tool for these kids by letting them just run out the door and go wherever they want when shit gets hard.
Have you seen the newest thing on Graham at Hawaii?
No.
So some kids got it together. This is where it's all been lost, man. Like, you know, the intimacy of a football locker room used to be the biggest and baddest thing ever, right? It was an intimate setting where whatever you said, you cried, you yelled, you fought, it stayed in that locker room. Coaches, players, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now it's a recording away from blasting out Bo Davis at Texas, blasting out whatever. If you saw the Brian Kelly thing at LSU, Notre Dame, telling the kids for 5 minutes, I'm leaving. And they recorded that shit.
Oh, yeah. Everything's recorded now.
But they came out with Graham the other day. Some kid came out the kid down to him, how he calls him dog shit, how he calls him this. And I'm like, listen, I'm not a fan of him. I never have been. Everyone I know worked for him never liked him. But that's a whole other ballgame. You don't have to like me either.
Right.
But to be a coach. But the players, in my opinion, are like, again, we're putting them on the same playing field as the coach. Like, when was there just a yes sir, no sir, shut the fuck up, and I'm the kid, and I'm gonna do what I have to do to get to point B, because I'm at point A in my life, and I haven't earned the right to be automatically put at point B yet.
Like at what point in corporate America can you record your boss and put it out on Twitter and not get fired? Right? Like, what are we teaching these kids? Like, there's no...
Well, Zach, how many people can enter the transfer portal at their job the real world?
Right. Like, what can I walk into my staff room and be like, I'm leaving Amazon and going to Google. I entered my name in the portal. Fuck off.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I said that on my show the other day. Same shit, man. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. It's
fucked up.
It's crazy. It is, man. It is. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's just it's one of those deals. I don't like the chicken shit coach that tells you one thing and leaves. That's a chicken shit cat, in my opinion. I believe you're just cowardly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never told a kid that. Like, kids used to ask me after the show came out, and I was in their house the next year recruiting, and they're like, coach, you're on Netflix now. Maybe some big D1's going to sign you. And I go, listen, number one, that ain't going to happen. This is why. B, it ain't going to happen. And if it does happen, I'm still letting you know this is still the best place to come. Because it's a commuter school. You're going to have to go to a junior college anyway. So why not go here where I'm at and leave? If I do leave, you're in a better place than it was when I came. Yeah. And these D1 coaches ain't saying that shit. They're saying, dog, come here. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah. I'm going to do this. And these kids believe it. And that's, in my opinion, that is a bad job of research by you. You're most likely your single mom and most likely your circle. Yeah. That has told you this, this, and this, that you're the best thing since sliced bread, and Oregon has the best unis, dog. We need to go because they got Nike and they got woo, woo, woo. Well, it's ironic that they have all this, but Chip Kelly, Willie Taggart, Mario Cristobal has all left for lateral or lesser job, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Chip went to the league, obviously, but other than that, it seems like every single person that left Oregon, it was the beginning of their demise.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Willie Taggart, he's shit. He's done. Fucking, we'll see what happens to Mario. His name's hot right now, but who knows what happens? I mean, Miami to me is a shit hole. And then you got Chip Kelly, who's been average or worse than average at UCLA. So
yeah, there's no doubt. And so you brought up a good point. Like, where the fuck are the high school coaches at? Like, how are these kids making these decisions? You know, you go to a great high school like St. Thomas Aquinas in Florida. Like, those kids are being guided by great coaches. So when they make a decision and a coach leaves, it's not like they're fucking shell-shocked and want to transfer, because they know, like, coaches leave. That happens, right? Where the high school coaches are lost in a lot of places. I don't know how it is on the West Coast, but I know down in the Southeast.
It's the worst here. It's the worst here. This is the problem, Zach, and this is a whole fundamental issue. The coaches now in the high school level, especially in California, especially, I believe, in Texas, Florida, the kids are leaving at an all-time rate. First of all, participation in football at the high school level is at an all-time low nationally.
Yeah.
Texas and California, being two bigger states, most populous states, are at an all-time low as far as high school football participation. So why is that? Well, there's a bunch of reasons we can go into why that is. I mean, fucking from PlayStation to Twitter to fucking Fortnite, whatever. We can go to a million things. But the bottom line is coaches are allowing it and not coaching it. We're sucking these kids' dicks so they do not transfer on us. And at the end of the day, the kid still is transferring.
Right.
So now you've put the power in these kids' hands. You've made them equals once again. And now guess what? You have taught them it is okay to be this and this and this. It's okay to come to school late, come to practice late, miss a practice. I'll still start you because I don't want you to transfer to school B. And yet, at the end of the day, he still transfers on your ass. And that's why I've always told my coaches, man, don't ever trust these motherfuckers. Don't ever trust them. But you got to still love them. You still got to coach them hard. You still got to love them hard. But don't ever trust these motherfuckers because they'll fuck you. And I said, don't try to save them all, Zach. You can't save them all. Save one of these motherfuckers. Try to save one of them.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, man, you know, these coaches are enabling these kids. And you know the old adage, man, you ain't coaching them, you're allowing them. And that's what we're doing in the household as parents. That's why you're seeing these kids beating up teachers in class.
Fucking wild. Like,
Zach, like, why, when we grew up, why did we ever see nobody shooting up a school?
Cause you,
like, I'm just trying to figure this shit out. Like, I never, across America, I never knew of a motherfucker shooting up a school growing up. And I'm from Compton. So, like, I never saw it ever in my life. None of my homies, all my cats living in cars, struggling, single moms. And we got both household kids. Mom and dad at home, white kids shooting up schools.
Fucking wild, isn't it?
But I'm saying that's the thing, though. We're just keep allowing this shit, and it's just snowballing, man. In my opinion, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And Zach, I put it on the coaches too, man, because the adults in this whole matter are fucking it up for the kids because we're in a trophy handout world. I did my show yesterday called Handouts. It's a trophy participation. You just participate. You're getting a trophy. And now I just literally laughed. I don't know if you watched or listened to my show yesterday, but I just called out. Do you know that we're giving away NCAA? The AFCA now is giving out Coach of the Year per region.
No, I didn't know they were doing that.
Dude, I just found this out. And I called out 27 Coaches of the Year yesterday. I'm like, hold the fuck up, man. So now we're giving every coach a fucking trophy for Coach of the Year?
It's fucking
I said, no wonder kids need a trophy.
It's like the Oprah.
Go Google Region 1 Coach of the Year in NCAA, and then you'll see. It's like Region 1, I believe, is fucking, I think it's fucking Arkansas. And then you got Region 2 is Fickell. Region 2 is Fickell. Region 3 is Winningham at Utah. Region 4 is fucking... I'm like, you gotta be shitting me, dog. So what now we're giving grown folks fucking participation trophies. Like, remember at the AFCA, Zach, we used to go and it would be a fucking Nick Saban would accept the award or Urban would accept the award in front of 10,000 coaches and it was the Coach of the Year. That was it. You had a speech, a dinner. It was a big deal.
Big deal. Big deal. It's just like
now we're watering down Coaching of the Year. Fucking everybody has it.
Right. It's like the fucking Oprah Christmas shows. Everybody gets a Coach of the Year trophy. Everyone is the Coach
of
the Year.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking insane. I did not see that. That is wild shit.
Well, check it out when the show ends. Check it out today when you get time. Go just pull up Region Coach of the Years and watch how many motherfuckers are Coach of the Year. Oh, Mel Tucker got Region. Mel Tucker's like Region 4.
Wait, hold on. Crazy. So Michigan State is in a different region than Cincinnati? They're like fucking 5 hours apart.
Yeah, because I think it's Power 5 and then it's Group of 5. Like,
holy
it's all fucked.
Shit.
Yeah, man, it's a fucking mockery. It's a mockery. I'm telling you.
That's a joke. Well, you brought something up early on that I want to go back to, and like you said, if the genuine real coaches, if when they leave, it's like it's a business, right, to take care of their family. But I want to talk about one guy who is not that. You saw it a week before he left Notre Dame when he said, there's not a blank check big enough in the world to get me to leave Notre Dame. And then a week later, he left. And then this motherfucker goes down to LSU and all. He's talking like he's lived in the bayou his whole life. He's got a fucking Creole accent talking about family. Like, what the fuck is that?
Dog, I don't know, Zach, about you, how you feel. Like, the problem is, every time growing up, as we've gone through this profession, you know, every time a coach says, I'm not leaving, he leaves, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So we know that. So I knew he was leaving, number one. Number two, we're looking at it like, where are these kids that make these decisions? Where are they in this process? Because nowadays in the social media world, these kids are quick to record you, quick to blast you on Twitter, quick to talk shit. But why are they not quick to talk to each other via DMs and say, hey, dog, I played Notre Dame, and this motherfucker is a shady, lying motherfucker to the kid at LSU right now and to the future recruit. And how is that not going to start crippling coaches that are continuing to do these things? In my opinion, you're going to have to start either faking the funk, faking it till you make it, or – you better start being genuine and stop lying to these motherfuckers, because in my opinion, the truth's going to come out because of the DM and the kid-to-kid process that is instantaneous over a DM. And one thing I used to beat everybody out on, Zach, in recruiting was contact my kid. I want you to DM my kid on my campus right now, and I don't know nothing. Ask him. Just pick a random kid. Yep. DM him. Hey, how's Coach Brown? How's Indy? How's this? How's that? And I used to kill him, Zach, with that shit right there. Yeah. Because nobody else would offer that. Everybody else was trying to hide that. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to know that.
Yeah, because they aren't real. Their players don't like them. They're not genuine, and they don't want you to talk to their kids. That happened to me. I had a kid. I beat Nebraska on a kid because they beat me the year before. Nebraska beat me on a receiver from Vegas that went to Nebraska. He just was in love with the receiver coach for whatever reason. Well, after his freshman year, I had a corner that visited there that I was recruiting, and the receiver that played for Nebraska straight up told him, like, bro, this ain't it. Like, don't come here. You need to go to Ohio State. I wish I would have went to Ohio State. This place fucking sucks. And that's why we got the kid. Because then he talked to my players. He was like, oh man, this shit's the best. Like, he's gonna work you hard, but.
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's the point getting at. Like, the kids are going to say, I said, hey, so I want to know what they sold you. And he's like, Coach, they said that, hey, man, you're going to tell them really, you might be an asshole to them, but you're going to give them a fucking hamburger and a shirt off your back, too. And they could come and see you anytime and talk to you. And whoopty whoop. I'm like, dude, listen, it's a result oriented life we live, man. It's a result oriented business we're in. It's ain't personal. Like,
right.
I'm not here to. If it's personal, I'm here to just make sure you fail. How fucking stupid is that? Why would I just want to see you fail? Like, I'm going to bust my ass to recruit you to fuck you.
Right. Like, what the fuck did I get out of that?
Come on, dog. Like, that's what I used to have to preach to these kids, and it made them think in other ways. And, man, every kid I got in the NFL, every, you know, Jermaine Johnson, ACC Player of the Year, first team All-American yesterday named at Florida State.
I saw that.
You know, it's you know, shit, I was hard on his ass, man, and I recruited the shit out of him. Like, he was the number one recruited player in the country going to JUCO, and everybody wanted him. Everybody offered him this and that and everything, and I'm like, I was just, dude, genuine. Like, I drove my ass to Minneapolis. I fucking, sold the mom, the girl, all that shit. It's like, dude, you got to fucking turn over rocks and find out what makes the kid tick. And genuine, man, they see through all the bullshit.
They see, like, through bullshit. That's a fact. That's a fact.
But I'm starting to think a little bit otherwise now, because me and you saw through anything. We could tell if you're lying, if you're cheating, if you're whatever. Nowadays it's like pretty uniforms, pretty girls on a visit in a fucking stadium, I guess, sells you, man. And when the coach leaves, you're quick to fucking enter the portal. So, like, you're going there for the coach. We all know that.
Right.
But, like, let's make sure we're doing some other investing in this thing. Maybe let's look at the coach's resume. Let's look at the fucking what my major's going to be. Like, these cats have no guidance at all, man. We're just going to go here for this, this, and this. Like, they don't even think past tomorrow. But we want to give them the keys to the ship.
Right.
Like, homie, come on, dog. How about you think about in 3 years from now when your fucking portal is full of fucking 5,000 kids and there's only 127 D1s, motherfucker, you're not all going somewhere.
Right. Like, not everybody may not have a home. Oh, man. Now, here's the other thing.
Not to cut you off, but did you know, I did a show the other day, did you know that there is over 3,000 women volleyball girls in the portal?
No. 3,000 women volleyball players in the portal?
There's 2,500 basketball players in the portal. There's over 3,500, I believe it's around 3,500 now, in the football portal. I want to say there is a shitload in the soccer portal. There's over 10,000 transfers in the NCAA portal today, as we speak. I just did a whole show on it. And the NCAA's front page on NCAA.org says, how to transfer.
Yeah, it's
and you wonder why there's a fucking issue.
Yeah, they're creating headlines, drumming up business because they've created NFL free agency, right? They've created free agency. This is not an amateur sport at all anymore. These kids are getting paid a ton of money. They're able to transfer teams, and it's not even like free agency, right? You can't even like trade a kid for another kid. They can just fucking they can throw up deuces and just fucking leave. It's just insane.
I don't understand how the NCAA has allowed it. I don't know how to understand how. I don't know, man. I don't know how you coach it. I just, you know, I'm kind of glad too, man, that I'm not in it right now. It's like I don't know if I can handle it. Plus, with COVID on top of it, it's like, Then now the kid's gonna have every fucking excuse in the world to not be there or miss something, and now you're trying to hold this standard, and now, oh, you yelled at me, I'm out. I'm going to the portal. I told you I had COVID, but I know for a fact you didn't, lying motherfucker, and you didn't show up, and now I yelled at you, and now you're into the portal. Like, there's so much shit, Zach, I don't know. There's so much to it, man, and it's like, I don't know if I could do it right now.
Well, let me tell you, you know what else I think's killing this game, outside of everything we've already talked about, is fucking the rules, the officiating. It just, like, targeting is killing football. Just the way they instituted that rule for player safety is fucking destroying the game.
Oh, man, it's not even close. It's so bad. I'm glad you brought it up, man. I talk about it all the time. It's a joke, man. This is the problem. Referees who call the targeting play have not a clue how biomechanics works. Right. They don't have a clue on – and I got a couple master's degrees in kinesiology and in sports medicine. So my mom's a doctor. I know a little bit, right? And so everybody can talk shit and all that, but I'm like, well, I could probably show you a few things. But when you're running power with 12 to 14 pounds of gear on, number one, and a person's body contorts in a certain manner because he's going to the ground, and you're going to control where your hat placement is on his hat is a – impossibility.
Right.
We're in a contact sport, and it's non-negotiable, and you've made it negotiable now.
Right.
We're playing a negotiable contact sport. That's an oxymoron. It's not even it doesn't exist.
Right.
It's like a word. It's like decommitment. That word does not exist. Like, quit decommitting. It doesn't exist. So, like, they don't have no investment, Zach. The referees don't have investment in these kids that stay at your campus 10 months out the year and miss Thanksgiving holidays, miss Christmas for a bowl game, and they put all this time in, and then you kick them out of the fucking game for a play that is a bang-bang play that's unavoidable. Unavoidable contact is what I call it, and you've made it, and you just told that kid, fuck it. You're missing a whole NFL game evaluation by GMs and scouts. And you have no investment in that kid whatsoever. You don't know what he's gone through. And you to throw him out of the game to me is a fucking slap in the face. It's a mockery. I think it should be fucking – there needs to be a commissioner put in place. And I think there should be a flagrant one and a flagrant two like the NBA does.
Absolutely.
Which is already soft as shit anyway. But I don't know what you think. I don't know what you think. But I think there should be at least two rules.
No, there definitely should. Because there's a place for it, right? When a kid just takes a blindside cheap shot and tries to fuck another kid up. Like, tries to...
No doubt.
Boot him out. But the problem that I see is there's a variability, right? Like, if I'm on defense and you tell me to tackle a tackling dummy low, I can do that, right? It doesn't move. I can hit it wherever you want me to hit it.
Exactly.
But when that motherfucker moves, how am I supposed to know where he's going to move? And when these kids lower their shoulder pads and helmet and create helmet to helmet contact, how is that on the defensive player? Like, he didn't know where his helmet was going to drop low like that. It just is fucking stupid to me. Like, it doesn't even make common sense.
Zach, have you seen any, like, maybe one all year long, NFL or college? I haven't seen any blatant, nasty, just asshole, try to hurt you, spike you, you know, spear you. We used to call it, let's spear the motherfucker. I haven't seen any of that. No. I've seen all football-related, bang-bang football plays that these kids are getting kicked out for because it's unavoidable contact.
Right. And so the question is, like, okay, the point of the rule is they're trying to eliminate that from the game, right? But these kids aren't trying to do it. It's happening. So you're not going to – those are unavoidable. You're not going to eliminate those from the game of football, right? So you're fucking up – your objective for putting this rule in place is unattainable. And you're fucking up the game because of it. Is that really fucking smart?
Zach, I don't know if it – Oh, it's fucking up the game, no doubt. I agree 100%. What I'm saying is also to add on top of it, it is putting these kids at an all-time health risk that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah.
First of all, we've taken away kickoff return basically at the NFL level. We've taken out wedge breakers. We've taken out holding hands on the return team. And what it does is you got a gunner coming down or on punt or on a kickoff return or on kickoff, you got a guy coming down full ass speed to a guy that's now fair catching a fucking kickoff return, and now you got a guy trying to cut that dude off on the return team, and now how many fucking spine and neck injuries have I seen this year because of one guy going super fast, one guy trying to slow up, and now we have catastrophic injuries waiting to happen, and these people don't realize that this shit's happening because of their fucking shitty-ass, half-ass rules.
Right.
And now you got the Pittsburgh quarterback who fakes a slide.
Oh, yeah.
And then goes 80, and now people think that's cool. And I'm just like, hold the fuck up. That kid should have been fucking ejected.
Right. There's no doubt. There's no doubt he should have been. And you know the other thing that, like, people don't talk about? Like, you know, with the technology, and these helmets are $2,000 a piece, right, to protect your brain.
And they're horrible.
Yeah, they are. But no one's talking about the number of ACL injuries because guys are taking out people's legs so they don't get a targeting call. I know the first year in the NFL, there was like five ACL tears on low tackles in the first game, first week of games. And you're like, okay, so we don't care about ACLs. We just care about headaches, I guess.
Not only ACLs, I just did this whole story on this whole exact thing, Zach. Not only ACLs, it's hamstrings at an all-time rate because we're pulling from the back, and guess what blows out? Your fucking hamstrings.
Right.
So now we don't want to hit you. We don't want to square up. We're scared to fucking hit you with a shoulder pad and helmet, which we were taught to do. Now we're grabbing at an all-time rate, and guess how many fucking cartilage finger tears we've had? How many shoulder and labrum issues we're having? How many fucking hamstrings we're having because of all the horrible tackling techniques, because we're afraid to get targeting and get fined for a guy that's making a league minimum. To fine him with six kids or whatever is a fucking big deal.
Hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah, it is.
And people think they're making millions. Like, no, man, I got kids in the league that are making league minimum and trying to make it. They got pulled up from the practice squad or whatever. And a $10,000 fine on that motherfucker, homie, is a lot.
Oh, that's a big deal. It's a lot.
You know, people don't get that shit. They think these all kids are all making millions. Like, nah, they're not, dog. This motherfucker making 210, 310, and you know, that's 1 year, but he might not even be in the league again, bro. So let's make sure you're clear. That's a cool living, but there's people living in you know, Amazon making fucking a million that aren't even big time guys.
There's no doubt. Well, I'm here to push the narrative, and I'm saying Coach JB for commissioner of the fucking NCAA. Let's get this shit fixed.
Hey, they wouldn't. They don't want that, man. There'd be too many fucking people getting swiveled. But you better have a head on your swivel.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, dude. It don't make no sense, though, Zach, how we've allowed all this. We're talking about covering seats. See, I don't know. I'm going to get into controversial shit, but growing up, dog, if, like, you wore a mouthpiece and you wore thigh pads when I was young.
Yeah.
When we took mouthpieces out and we took thigh pads out to be cute, we started to see the most concussed player ever is this because of this generation without mouthpieces and without thigh pads? Because, and you know, you've been through all the NFL stuff, and Tuesdays they used to bring in the people during our off days on the Tuesday, and they would, and I used to listen to that shit because the doctors will tell you, all right, and it makes total sense. You take a mouthpiece out and your head hits the ground, your jaw concusses at about 500 miles an hour, your teeth hit each other. That is what causes concussion.
Yep.
Troy Aikman, Steve Young started taking out mouthpieces so they can communicate in audible and talk without having any restriction in their mouth. And guess what? Both of those two had the most concussions of anyone, especially when their teams were very good. And then they started making the molded mouthpieces. You go to the dentist, get your molded mouthpiece. And then they started taking the thigh pads out. DBs, wideouts, I want to be cute. And what is the biggest bone in the body, Zach? The femur.
Yep.
What do we hit? When we hit a thigh and no pad on it, you don't realize, but you're hitting a fucking femur bone that ain't moving. You're going to be concussed too.
Yep.
And people don't talk about that shit at all, but that's a real thing. And people are getting fucking concussed at an all-time rate because of, you don't want targeting, but you won't allow, you're cool with not wearing the proper gear.
Yeah, that's a fact. That is a fact.
Like, you can't find, you don't find them for no thigh pads or mouthpieces, but you with a targeting call. Like, come on, right, man. It's fucking stupid.
But you know what? I will tell you this. Concussions have also become like social
media. Commercialized.
And it's an excuse because you can't really diagnose it. It's not like cancer. There's a tumor, right? Like if a kid says his head hurts and all this other shit, he can just say he has a concussion. And we had a kid. Yep. We had a kid one time that didn't play again because of a concussion. But it wasn't really a concussion. The kid had anxiety and all kinds of other issues. His out was to say he had a concussion. So concussions are like, it's that catch-all that just catches everything.
Oh yeah, it's a new mental health.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
I got mental health. Really? So mental health. I didn't know you choose mental health. I thought mental health chose us, dog. I didn't know we get to choose mental health. I didn't know we could wake up in the morning and say, oh, shit, I got mental health now.
I got mental health today. I don't want to go to do that.
Exactly. One of my boys woke up one day and did not know his name. I believe that's really mental health. That means mental health chose him, you fucking dumbasses. I didn't get to wake up and say, I don't know my name, but I do, but I'm just going to act like I got mental health. Like, mental health chooses us. Let's stop using the fucking excuse for mental health, and let's start using the real word, which is mental fucking weakness. And let's start coaching these cats up and teaching them instead of allowing them and fucking giving them every single thing. We got the most entitled self. They want instant gratification now. They want like I see the kid in the store. I tell the story all the time, telling his mom. He's like 13, telling his mom, "No, I don't want that. I'm not eating that." And I looked at the mom, I put my arm around the mom, and I go, damn, mom, he must pay your mortgage, huh? And she looked at me and laughed. The kid actually recognized me, and, you know, once I knew that, I went all in on this motherfucker. I'm like, homie, you think we got a chance to pick what we left to eat? My dad is just fucking, oh, really? Okay, cool. He didn't even say nothing to me, and I'm sitting there waiting for another meal to come up, and he didn't get out of his chair. I'm like, what's up, huh? He's like, what do you mean, what's up? You said you don't want this. I said, no, I don't. He goes, okay, cool. But what else is there? Ain't shit. There ain't nothing else, motherfucker. What do you mean?
Right.
Like, that's what these kids don't get. Like, we're giving these kids whatever the fuck they want. Like, hold up, dog. You paid a light bill around this motherfucker? Have you put a kid through college? Have you paid a mortgage bill? Like, I don't know. I don't know, Zach. I mean, I got a bunch of philosophies on this shit, man. But, like, the first thing is, Zach, we need to stop paying their motherfucking cell phones. When they hit 15 years old, get them a job, stop paying their cell phone. Every single fucking thing evolves around a cell phone, and these kids get financial aid. They buy a new cell phone. They go get Jordan. They go get fucking a new – they go get tattoos. That's another big thing.
Oh,
I'm
going to
go get a tat. I'm going to get a tat. Hold up, dog. Dan, don't when you don't have the money, I'm not paying your cell phone bill. Period. Just stop that right there. I guarantee it changes a lot of shit.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. That's it's starts at a young age too. We're fucking this up at a young age. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, JB. As always, let everybody know that listens where they can find your podcast, your whiskey, and everything.
Yeah, man, Slam Podcast. You know, it's on my YouTube channel, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 2 p.m. on the West Coast, 5 p.m. on the East Coast. I do a YouTube live. It's on everything, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. And then, you know, I'm on the Pat McAfee Show every Friday around 9:30 in the morning on the West Coast, noon on the East. And then my whiskey is growing, man. It's on CoachJBStore.com. And you can order it online, and it's in about 8 states right now in liquor stores. Oklahoma, you can find my whiskey. Missouri, Arkansas. It will be in New York, New Jersey, Texas, and Florida by the beginning of next year. So that's those are huge states for liquor. So we'll be in those stores and also Tennessee. So that the whiskey's growing. It's a great whiskey, man, and appreciate everything. We'll also have – I'll be launching a new Cuban cigar coming January as well.
Well, that's what's up, man. Well, as I said at the beginning, I'm getting a bottle of Slapdick whiskey right now. When we get done with this show, I'm ordering it, and then I'm looking forward to the cigars. I'm a whiskey and cigar guy, JB. So I appreciate.
Oh yeah, you got to get it up, man. We got to hook it up, man. Hey, do you still go to the convention?
No, you know I haven't been since I got fired.
Really? Yeah, I've been 20 years in a row, man, and I'm like, fuck, man, I don't know if I'm going this year, man. I got my Slapdick bullies too, man. I got big time breed of dogs, and I got two puppies right now, man. And
I saw that on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can go to slapdickbullies.org, bullies, LLIES. You can go get, you can get one of my pups. I got two tri-merle and a merle. So they're going to cost your ass some money, but they're well worth it.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, man. You always keep it real, and you're always good to have on here, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, appreciate it. Well, there you have it. You heard it from the real Coach JB, the future commissioner of college football. If we could have our way and, I don't know, bring the sport back to what it should be, right? But that's all we got for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you were entertained. Hope you were educated. Hope you learned something, or you just – listen to two guys give their opinion for an hour, whatever it is. Hope you enjoyed it. And like I mentioned before, Zone 6 Fund, hit me up, Zach at Menace of Sports. If you got ideas, you want to be a part of it, you want to donate, you want to buy a square, whatever it is, hit me up. It's what I'm passionate about, and I'm excited at this new venture that we have here at Cameron Media and with Menace to Sports. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. And if you didn't enjoy it, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.